Coming up, we're going to hear a Palestinian Christian pastor, Munther Isaac, and he's going to talk about the relationship of Christian Zionism to the issues, the problems going on right now in Palestine. Then we'll hear a little brief humor that was produced by the Eumenes. They're poking fun at their ability to disrupt commerce in the Red Sea. Next, we have Mehdi Hassan. He'll be talking about the difference between anti-Zionism and anti-Semitism. His little talk took place during a debate in Canada. We'll be reminded that in 2014, 10 years ago, Israel killed 2,200 Palestinians, including 5,500 children. I'm sorry, 550 children. So the October 7th raid and massacre by Hamas last year was not unprecedented. And finally, we'll end with a campaign, sort of a campaign event almost, by Roger Waters in England. He was speaking at a pro-Palestinian rally there. And he made this speech, of course, before the recent victory by the Labour Party in England. So coming up next, we have Munther Isaac talking about Christian Zionism.
I'm calling for repentance from Christian Zionism. And I want you to try to understand Zionism or Christian Zionism from the perspective of Palestinians. Try once to explain Christian Zionism to a Palestinian. Try to persuade him. Well, you know, I know you've been living in this land for generations upon generations upon generations, but there is this God who promised your land to someone else. Accept it. Live with it. This is what Zionism is teaching. And in fact, it becomes our fault for not accepting this idea that your God gave you our land. This is what Zionism is teaching. And then we're forced to debate the Bible. Look, read the Bible. Show me one other context in which a dispute is solved by someone referring to what their God told them. Is this really how we solve things? And you have to understand that, you know, when they refer to it as a struggle, when we talk as Palestinians about our land, this is not a political statement. This is land we've inherited and farmed for generations upon generations and upon generations. And then you show up from Europe and you tell us God gave us this land thousands of years ago, and we have to accept it, really. But what is Zionism and Christian Zionism is saying also is that some people are special. God made a special deal with those people. He favors them, and we have to accept it. It's colonialism in which the colonizers say, our God gave us your land, and if you fail to accept it, shame on you. It's the concept of a tribal God, maybe even a racist God, who shows favoritism, a partial God. And when you support a tribal God or a racist God in this way, then also violence is justified and accepted. So today we have to call Zionism and Christian Zionism for what it really is. Zionism is established, or Zionism established a homeland on someone else's land. This is what Zionism is. Israel was literally established on the ruins of our towns and villages. The Zionists literally store our homes. I'm talking about physical homes with keys. We still hold the keys. They live in them. They kicked us out of our land. 800,000 Palestinians became refugees. And in fact, Israeli historians describe it as ethnic cleansing. This is Zionism. And then Zionism established a state which is clearly a racist state because it is a racist ideology. The concept of a Jewish state is by definition exclusive. And finally, you know, a few years ago, the nation state law said explicitly.
And that was Palestinian Christian pastor Munther Isaac from Bethlehem, Next, we have a Yemeni comedy routine. They're poking fun at their ability to disrupt commerce in the Red Sea.
سفينة سفينة والله ما تمشي سفينة تمويهاكم كاشفينة اما تجنب رهينة او نقلع ام الماكينة ونحاصر ابن اللعينة بيدن على بنيامينة يلعن ابو والدينا
سفينة سفينة اليمني كسفت سفينة راس الراجا في يامينة والهندي ومحاصرينة
والبهر الاهمر في كمينة
والابيض طايح بيدينة
والاسود بكرة جايينة
من عين نعبر من وين
من وين
يا بنيامين
نعبر من المتورطين ومحاصرين
يو بايدن الو
هات الصولين والغرب فين
بين امريكا وبريطانيا والدنمارك فرنسا ومانيا انا مشغول اباطة ومش قادر اهدع ولا ثانية
That was Yemeni comedy. And coming up next, we have a really excellent presentation by Mehdi Hassan. He is debating the distinction between anti-Zionism and anti-Semitism in a debate in Canada. So, Mehdi Hassan.
Hassan's opportunity to present the con side of the argument. Wait.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen. In 1917, over 100 years ago, Arthur Balfour, the British Foreign Secretary, a card-carrying anti-Semite, a man who had denounced the evils of Jewish immigration into the UK, a man who referred to Jews as an alien and hostile people, he issued his Balfour Declaration, which promised a national home for the Jewish people in Palestine. It was the first time a major world power had come out in favor of Zionism, which at the time was a pretty new and pretty controversial movement, calling not just for a Jewish homeland, but for the building of a Jewish-majority state in Palestine. And yet, the only Jewish member of the British cabinet at that time, a man named Edwin Samuel Montagu, adamantly opposed both Zionism, which he called a mischievous political creed, and the Balfour Declaration, which he referred to as anti-Semitic and a rallying ground for anti-Semites in every country in the world. The only Jewish member of the British cabinet, that is what he said. And yet tonight here in Toronto, over 100 years later, we are being asked to vote for a motion that would damn Montagu as the anti-Semite while praising Balfour as the champion of Jews and Judaism. That's ridiculous. In fact, this entire motion tonight is ridiculous, disingenuous, ahistorical. It says, be it resolved, anti-Zionism is anti-Semitism. It doesn't say some anti-Zionists engage in anti-Semitism, which I don't disagree with. It doesn't say some anti-Semites hide behind the cloak of anti-Zionism, which again, I don't disagree with. Everything Douglas listed about what's happened in Toronto, disgusting, reprehensible. Those people are shameless bigots. But that's not what the motion says. The motion says anti-Zionism is anti-Semitism. No ifs, no buts, no caveats, no exceptions. Anyone who takes an anti-Zionist position is automatically, inherently, unavoidably anti-Jewish, an anti-Semite, a racist. That is what you would be voting for if you make the mistake of voting for this motion tonight, which I am sure you won't do because you are far too smart and nuanced an audience to do that. You are Canadians! And I have great respect for Canadians. I say that for no apparent reason whatsoever. I like Canadians. I like Israelis. My debate partner tonight, Gideon Levy, Israeli writer, is one of my journalistic heroes. It's a privilege to be on the stage with him. But this debate fundamentally at its core, and I kind of agree with Douglas here, it's not about Israelis. It's not about Israel. It's not about Gaza. And by the way, on the subject of Gaza, given Douglas gave us some math about the death toll on October the 7th, horrific death toll, which we all condemn, I would remind you also that the death toll inflicted on Gaza The deaths and injuries in Gaza are the equivalent, if we're going to do the ratios, of 2 million Canadians. 2 million Canadians. But that's not what the debate is about. It's not even about Zionism itself. It's about the legitimacy of anti-Zionism, whether you can be anti-Zionist, opposed to Zionism, which, remember, is a political ideology, a nationalist movement, not a religion, not a race, not a protected class, whether you can be anti-Zionist without being smeared, tarred, demonized as an anti-Semite. And I want to be clear tonight. You could be the most pro-Israeli person in this room tonight, the most proud and ardent Zionist here, and still vote against this motion with a clear conscience. Still vote with our side, the right side. Because this motion is not about whether you are pro-Israel or pro-Zionist. It's about whether the rest of us have the right, the freedom, to take a different view on Israel, on Zionism, on Benjamin Netanyahu even, without being silenced, without being told we're racists. We're not. Anti-Zionism is not anti-Semitism. I'll tell you three reasons why. Three reasons why you should oppose this motion tonight. Number one, if you vote for this motion tonight, you are throwing logic, history, and the English language under the bus. Because anti-Semitism is hating Jews, the people, and Judaism, the religion. Anti-Zionism is opposing Israel, the state, and Zionism, the ethno-nationalist ideology that underpins that state. Zionism is not Judaism. Let me say that again for the people up top. Zionism is not Judaism. Right? It's a very modern, secular, political ideology movement that was founded less than 150 years ago by an atheist named Theodor Herzl, who said, and I quote, "The anti-Semites will be our most dependable friends, the anti-Semitic countries our allies." His words, not mine. Number two, if you vote for this motion, you're throwing Palestinians as a people under the bus. You're telling an occupied people, a dispossessed people, to accept their own occupation, their own dispossession, meekly, in silence. Otherwise, they're racists. As my friend Yusuf Manaya, the Palestinian-American activist, says, to ask Palestinians not to be anti-Zionist is to ask Palestinians not to be. And number three, last but not least, if you vote for this motion, you're throwing a lot of Jews under the bus as well. Not just Jews like Edwin Samuel Montagu, but Jews today. If you vote for this motion tonight, you're saying my debate partner, Gideon Levy, whose grandparents were killed in the Holocaust, who served for Shimon Peres, who's written for Haaretz for over 40 years, just won Israel's top journalism prize 3 years ago. He's an anti-Semite. You're saying the Satmar, the world's biggest Hasidic Jewish sect, which says it is fighting God's war against Zionism, is anti-Semitic. You're saying Jewish college students on campus, maybe some of them are your kids, members of If Not Now and Jewish Voices for Peace, they're anti-Semites. You're saying some of the most respected Jewish voices in the world, like Avraham Berg, the former Speaker of the Parliament, Miriam Margolis, the actress from Harry Bloody Potter, they're all anti-Semites. That is what you are saying. That is what you're signing off on if you vote for this motion tonight. So I have a simple solution for you all. Don't do it. Vote instead for common sense, for free speech, and the right to criticize a foreign country. The right to criticize a foreign country and a political ideology. I beg to oppose.
And that was Mehdi Hassan. Coming up, a reminder that this is the October 7th massacre was not the first massacre to take place in Palestine. And in 2014, Israel killed 2,200 Palestinians, including 550 children.
Back in 2014, when Israel initiated a military operation against Gaza, they killed 2,200 Palestinians, including more than 550 Palestinian children. And that does create a sentiment within Gaza of people who want vengeance. And that's why you see people, some people, react to October 7th as saying, what do you expect after everything that Gaza has endured at the hands of Israel? And right now we're putting our finger precisely on the point is that if we want to compare atrocities back and forth, frankly, I don't think Israel fares very well, because there's no question that Hamas has committed atrocities against Israelis, but Israel's atrocities against Palestinians have been far greater, far more frequent, and extend over a much longer period of time. And if we're serious, just last point, Piers, that is really important.
Yeah.
If we're serious about wanting to end these atrocities, you have to deal with the underlying problem. And the underlying problem is that Israel's recipe for Palestinians says they are not allowed to ever be free. They must live under siege and occupation forever.
Coming up, we have Roger Waters talking to a pro-Palestinian rally in England. This is before the recent election took place, and you'll hear him encourage anti-labor sentiment. But labor, of course, swept the elections, so keep that in mind. Roger Waters.
The sign will be free.
Thanks, Tabby.
I may be the man, but is this the mic? I think it is. Wow, I've been watching this on my phone backstage. It's been effing great. It's been fantastic. What an atmosphere. Right, I'm just going to turn this up to almost deafening in my ears, because I am a bit deaf. I'm jet-lagged as well. I flew over here. I got here about 6 o'clock in the morning. And by the way, before I go any further, this is Dave Kilminster, my old mate, who's been playing guitar with me for umpteen years. Stand up. Stand up. And he's going to play the guitar while we do all this. Okay, so I couldn't get to sleep, obviously, last night, having arrived at 6 o'clock the previous morning. So I wrote this, and I'm going to try and read it to you now, okay? This evening, as you already know, so some of this will be redundant because people have preceded me and had their say, and good for them. I listened to it all, and more power to you all. So this evening's called Stand Up for Palestine. Loki has stood up. Youssef has stood up. Andrew Feinstein has stood up. And most importantly, Leanne Mohammed and the other lady whose name I didn't, they have stood up. So that's all good. Dave Kilminster here and I are going to stand up. Oh, he already did stand up. Sorry, I apologize. That is redundant. There's a bloke here getting a bit bored. I am going to get on with it, mate. Don't you worry. Here we go. So thank you all for standing up. I'm sure many of you, like me, live on the brink of tears. We live on that uncomfortable edge, on the brink of tears, because we feel empathy for our brothers and sisters in Gaza and the other occupied territories in Palestine. Yeah, well, why not? Empathy. What a precious gift empathy is. I'm going to sing Wish You Were Here in a minute. Okay. People sometimes think Wish You Were Here is a lament for a dead childhood friend of mine, Sid Barrett. Well, guess what? Sometimes it is. But not tonight. Tonight is for Palestine. So, so you think you can tell heaven from hell, blue skies from pain? So you think you can tell heaven from hell? Tonight, my song, Wish You Were Here, is about choices. If you think you can tell heaven from hell, you can choose one or the other on polling day, the 4th of July. Some of you here tonight are constituents in the voting district Holborn and St Pancras. You will have the opportunity to cast your vote to make a choice. You can choose heaven or hell. Okay. It went on. The last line, yeah, you can choose blue skies or pain. You will have looked at the candidates, Keir Starmer and Andrew Feinstein, and you may have thought to yourself, can I tell a smile from a veil? I'm quoting my song again, madam. It's a sort of, you know, it's theatre. Sorry, I'll carry on. Do you think you can tell? I can. I've looked at Keir Starmer and I've looked at Andrew Feinstein. I can tell a smile from a veil. There won't be a pro-truth, pro-love, pro-empathy candidate standing at every constituency in the UK, but there is one here in Holborn and St Pancras, Andrew Feinstein, who I mentioned before. There are 72,000 of you in Holborn and St Pancras. We only need 51% to choose truth and love and empathy and vote for Andrew Feinstein on polling day, and you will have prevented Keir Starmer from becoming the Prime Minister. Thank you, madam. All right. So to prevent the genocide enabler Keir Starmer from becoming Prime Minister would be a huge gift to the people of England and, in fact, to the whole of mankind. We are in desperate need of a new moral compass in Westminster to help guide a new Labour movement that truly represents the people through the corridors of power. Yes, we do need a new moral compass in Westminster. Okay, so where am I now? Blah, 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 blah. So back to my song. Did you exchange a walk-on part in the war for a lead role in a cage? As Prime Minister Keir Starmer would be the living, breathing epitome of a lead role in a cage. Mr. Starmer lives in a cage of his own choosing, where he does the bidding of the ruling class. But I've nearly finished. But for all of us, just to be here tonight in this beautiful church is to play a walk-on part in the war. Loki and Yusuf and I and Dave and Andrew and Leanne all have walk-on parts in this war. We are all soldiers in the battle for human rights, including, centrally, rights for the people of Palestine. To be clear, we are also engaged here tonight in part of a larger existential battle for the very soul of the human race, and so are all of you. Thank you. Sorry, next paragraph makes it up. It says, okay, comma, I had some injections in a couple of knuckles yesterday, so forgive me if I play the odd bum note. Luckily, I've got Dave to hold my hand. Okay, there we go. That's it. So I'm going to put that there.
Put that there.
It's only a burp coming on. I can feel it. Don't worry, I do this for a living. I mean, I've done this for a living for about 60 years. So I'm over most of it, most of the anxiety. All right, so Dave and I'll tell you what we're going to do now, because I think we're the last act. We are going to play Wish You Were Here, because it is a nice song, and it is not just about Sid, it's about everyone that we love. And then after that, I'm going to do a song that I wrote during COVID that I've been doing on the road during my This Is Not a Drill tour. And it's a song called The Bar, and I'm afraid it meanders a little bit. But I'm sure you will understand it and get into the spirit of it, because it's a song about community and how we can come together in communities and talk to one another, whether it's in the bar with a drink or whether it's in a church with lovely people like you here tonight. So that's what's going to happen. And that's it. We're only doing two songs. All right, here we go. Let's see how we get on with the first one. Christ, what key is it in? Nah, just kidding. All right, here we go. Ghosts, hot ashes for truth, and hot air for a cool breeze, cold comfort for change. And did you exchange a walk-on part in the war for a lead role in a cage? Thank you.
Okay. All right, so this is the bar. That burp, it's going to come. I know it's going to come. Better. Okay. There's a couple of characters in these first few verses of the bar that you should know about. One is an old black homeless lady on the streets of New York City, living in a pile of cardboard, as many do in New York City and many of the cities of the world. She lives there with a Chihuahua dog called Lady. And the other woman, who's considerably younger than she is a Native American Lakota Sioux lady, who passes her in the street, recognizes her predicament, stops and talks to her, and then eventually brings her here to the bar where we can all look after her. Okay, further to the conversation earlier with Leanne about the health service being for everyone. All right, so, and I may pause. There are many verses. It's all of this stuff here to remind me of what it is. Are you ready, Dave? I'll take that as a yes. Does everybody in the bar feel pain? Yeah, sure, they do. I'm going to speed up a bit. Is everybody in the bar a little maimed? Yeah, both me and you. We traded in the family farm for snake oil. We bought into the carpet beggar's lies. Now we're hanging on this cross with these feelings of loss. Just watching the Liberty boats sail on by. And if I cut you, would you bleed for me? If I bind your wounds, would you cry? If I gave you my hand, would you stand by me? Stand by me here till I die. The man put out his hand to help me. Give me credit at the company store. Had I looked into his eyes, it would come as no surprise. That I can't make the payments anymore. Does everybody in the bar feel shame? Lord knows I do. I guess we all feel pretty much the same. Kinda wore out by this crazy fucking zoo. The smell of napalm with the cornflakes. The chafe of killing everything that breathes.
imposing sanctions, that was, on the lady downstream. Till she takes the hint and packs her bags and leaves. I'll tell you what happened then. Quiet, please, please, because I haven't finished. Hang on, packs of bags and leaves. All right, I'll tell you, calm down. I'm starting another verse. We've got about five more verses to go, so just relax. All right. Because I love singing this song, okay, because it breaks my fucking heart, frankly, and as I'm on the verge of tears all the time, anyway, every morning when I wake up, I have to get hold of myself. So the only thing I have to remember today, only thing you have to remember today, Roger, the only thing that you could possibly do that wouldn't be right would be to stand by, silent and indifferent, and you're not doing that. And I'm not. Come on in here, sister, and sit a spell. You are most welcome in the bar. We may seem few, but we are many. Have you been traveling far? The girl who brought you in is Lakota. From Standing Rock, where they made their stand. So from Fort Yates, North Dakota, here's a message for the man. Would you kindly get the fuck off our land? Hey, bald man, I have a question. As one of many victims, tell me why. A failed, fat, fucking landlord has been chosen to decide who should live and who should die. Sweetheart, there's a reason you come in here. I'm
I was just putting on my dancing shoes with the right set of moves. We can turn this ship around. Together, we can write tomorrow's news. You are my sad-eyed lady. Come lay across my big brass bed. Maybe it is we who have been chosen, you and me, to point out this dawn, make no fucking sense. How many cannonballs must fly, Bob? How long and winding is the road? How many children tugging on? How many mother's sleeves? Saying, look, Ma, the man ain't got no fucking clothes. You can help them build a bomb in Raytheon, but they'll sell it all in Kalamazoo. And some crazy motherfucker's bound to drop it on a busload of kids going to school. You can hold up your hands in denial. Something, some choices in your head. Just an innocent car, just doing your job. But those little Yemeni kids will still be dead. When I'm drinking my coffee in the morning, and I'm something to this Yemeni shit. Sorry, I lost my way there. I can't help feeling bad for that grieving foreign dad, picking through the bus that's just been hit. So on Monday, when you're walking through the factory gates, or on Friday, when you're picking up your chick, you'll be sitting on a curbside like a bicycle thief. But with no boy to put his arm round daddy's neck. Only a couple more. Okay. Before I was born, my brother used to sit on daddy's lap when he was home on leave. Daddy'd smoke a cigarette and sometimes as a jest, he'd blow smoke rings up my big brother's sleeve. Daddy, my big brother would shout. At least that's how the story has survived. I was mercifully spared the feelings that they shared, memories that they shared. 'Cause I was only 5 months old when Daddy died. Thank you.
Don't know where you are, Dave, but it's all right. I'll find you, my sunshine. I came over because you're gonna call up a friend in Australia and order in some bush tucker snacks and sit here with you to the didgeridoo. Listen while you draw me all the maps. Is that a foghorn in the distance? Oh, we're heading for the rocks. Come sit here by the far side and hold me in your arms. Tell me, how was life before the cops?
Thank you. I'm going to try not to fall over. Thank you for coming tonight. We're going to do a, I think we're going to do a photo op up here with everybody who is playing their music, their wonderful music, and Andrew and Leanne and the others. So they're going to come up here and we're going to do a couple of photos. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That we're going to hang. Okay, this is the photo op. Free Palestine!
Thank you.
That was Roger Waters, co-founder of Pink Floyd, the band, and the bass player in it, but a longtime Palestinian activist.